Outside of the tanking fans getting a much-needed loss for the Chicago Bulls, Io DeSumo also opened up a can of worms yesterday in regards to the Bulls' shot selection, and surprisingly enough, seeing a number of people defending Billy Donovan in this. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to dive into five more prospects to watch in this NCAA tournament as March Madness starts today. We're going to dive all into that, plus Stacey King calling Leonard Miller an uncovered gem for the Chicago Bulls. We'll talk about all that plus more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And we're going to start off with this Io DeSumo thing. Then we're going to jump into NCAA tournament. I know a lot of people are really excited to see these prospects in the NCAA tournament, and they want to know where to start at. But I do want to start with this Io DeSumo thing because of the conversation that it started around the Chicago Bulls, and just something that's just, you know, kind of confusing me just a little bit in regards to it, right? So Io DeSumo was interviewed after a game in which Anthony Edwards was out, and Io DeSumo had a lot more freedom, right? And he was asked about, you know, the differences and you know, just his play. And then it turned into a conversation about the mid-range shot, right? So we're going to go ahead and play the clip where Io said this. And so in me listening to that, I immediately thought about the fact that, like, I went back to Io in, like, college, who was somebody that attacked the mid-range. Even Io DeSumo's, career, before last season, he attacked the mid-range more. And him saying that the mid-range is prohibited kind of in Chicago, right? And then I saw the thing that kind of blew my mind the most, and that was so many Bulls fans coming out and defending Billy Donovan because of it, right? Like, basically saying that, oh, Billy Donovan's right. He, you know, to restrict players thing. And here's the thing, right? Do I think the Bulls as a team should be taking, you know, 40% of their shots in the mid-range? No. But it does feel like this is a bit of an overcorrection from the DeMar DeRozan era, because the Bulls, only 4.6% of the Chicago Bulls shots overall come from the mid-range. And there are players on this team that are decent from the mid-range, Io DeSumo being one of them. And we're seeing Io DeSumo have an opportunity, to kind of turn into more of a three-level scorer. And it's because of the actions that they do run. There's more intentionality behind attacking the mid-range. You know, Io DeSumo said in that clip how, because they have Rudy Gobert, they're able to come off screen, stuff like that. And I get it. The Bulls haven't had a physical presence center like Rudy Gobert. You know, the closest thing that we had to was basically Andre Drummond. Right now, we have had Zach Collins here, but he's been very hurt since he's come here. But it just confused me to see so many people basically come out and back Billy Donovan in this. In no way should you eliminate a whole side of the court or whole part of the court. That, again, even if you do want to attack the rim, the fact that you don't attack the mid-range to keep teams honest, it leaves teams' ability to pack it in defensively and to guard the paint get better against you, which then leads you to taking more three-point shots. And the Bulls are not as good of a three-point shooting team to where the majority of their shots should be coming from the three-point line. And this is just another one of those things where I feel like it's just a segment of Bulls fans that like to be contrarian to everything that happens, that goes on, without actually the analytical. So they hear somebody say something, and because people know that there's a problem, and it's weird, because now you're defending Billy Donovan. And it's just, and it's the same old typical, subjects that always do that stuff, the suspects, I should say, that do the same thing every single time, right? Where it's just like, they just like to be contrarian to Bulls fandom at this point to stand out. And that's just a stupid thing for me, right? Don't get me started on the Mark K of it all, who pops back in just to say some shit, again, to purposely be on the opposite side of any and most Bulls fans. And don't get me started on Peck and whatever. It's just, but it when you look at it, the Bulls are dead last in the NBA in frequency in the mid-range. Only 4.6% of their shots are in the mid-range. That's 30th in the NBA. I'm not saying they should be in the top 10 or anything like that, but it shouldn't be 4.6%. I think a healthy, like 8 to 10%. That would be enough to keep defenses honest. And when you look at it, above the break threes and corner threes account for almost 44% of the Bulls' total shots. That's too high of a margin for the way that we shoot the three-point. Of course, some teams like the Boston Celtics, other teams can have that much of their shots be that, because they have the three-point shooters to do it. It's just, it's mind-boggling, right? And it brings about another thing of what Billy Donovan, how he's coaching this team. And that's why I said, like, when I saw the clip, it was just like, shout out to Io for having a little bit more range now with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that's, you know, for people who's like, oh my God, Io's going to come back here. It's probably why that's not going to happen, right? When you hear things, and Io wasn't saying that to throw anybody under the bridge. I want to be clear here. That's not what he was saying, right? But when you hear somebody say in Chicago, mid-range shots were really prohibited, like, what? Right, and this is where analytical, and you guys know I'm an analytics guy, right? But you have to frame analytics in the right way. And that's why I say when people try to throw under, oh, well, the Bulls aren't attacking the mid-range, it's just analytics. No, it's Billy Donovan's processing of the analytics. Because what the analytics will tell you for the Chicago Bulls is that they're not taking enough mid-range shots at 4.6%. When they actually take them, they're decent. They're more towards 18th in the NBA. That's around the middle of the pack as far as efficiency from the mid-range when they actually do take them. Now, that could go up. That can go down with a higher frequency. So I'm not going to act like that percentage would necessarily stay the same. But then when you also look at 59.6% of their mid-range shots are assisted, which is number one in the NBA. So that means that it's basically a player in Josh Giddey or Trey Jones that more than likely that are getting players the ball at the right time in the mid-range, and that's why they're having success. So trust those guys a little bit more. It's just that type of thing when I look at it. And that's why, you know, when you know, even though I know he's not going anywhere, I want to be clear here, I know he's not going anywhere anytime soon, but in Billy Donovan, but it does bring about like how it's not, you can't just blame analytics in a case like that. It's not just analytics. The person that's processing the analytics are as important as the analytics themselves. And that's the problem when you look down at it, right? That's the issue when you look at it. So, you know, I'm not saying that Billy Donovan is completely wrong in the fact that he wants to either attack the rim or get to the three-point line as the basis of an offense. But you still have to have more complexity, more scheming to keep defenses honest in the NBA. And when you don't do that, that's where you hit it. That's where you get into stuff with it at. So it's just, you got to look at that. And I think that that's something that you got to find a happy medium between completely, you know, abandoning the mid-range shot and then still trying to take enough to keep defenses honest. And if you don't do that, that's where we're going to fall into a hole at where we are for the Chicago Bulls. So it's just a weird conversation that I didn't expect to go the way that it went. But I want to hear from you guys on that because, listen, for those that do take it as, hey, this is a knock on Billy Donovan. There's a positive of Billy Donovan. I really want to hear from you guys. Have a more well thought out conversation on it. Leave your comments in the comment section down below. If you're on the YouTube side of that, please, because I really want to hear how you guys feel about all that. But with that said, let's move on. I want to talk about five prospects to watch in the NCAA tournament. It's a fun conversation to have. The NCAA tournament is where everything's built around right now. It starts today, and it's going to be fun. Excuse me. And it's going to be very fun to watch this tournament and who turns into a tournament darling this year, right? There's always one to two players that have such a good NCAA tournament that regardless of where their draft stock is, they're going to move up about five or six spots. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that one. But I want to start off with talking about Braden Burries, the guard out of Arizona, right? This is a player who I think, you know, he's probably going to be on the board when the Chicago Bulls pick. He's 20 years old. And, you know, he's not an elite athlete by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think he is a combo guard that can still score on all three levels. He's 6'4", so a little bit on the shorter side of that. He's averaging 15.9 points per game on one of the best teams in the NCAA. And Braden Burries is a player that a lot of you guys have brought up, right? 205 pounds, so he's not as slight of frame as like a Kobe White coming into the league. He's averaging 4.7 rebounds on 49% with 49% shooting from the field, 36% shooting from three, which is really good. And he's getting to the free throw line 4.5 times per game, right? The reason why this guy could be a nice fit in Chicago specifically is the defensive upside of Burries is legitimate. He averages 1.6 steals per game as well, but I'm talking about more so the defense on off numbers look really good for him. The defensive efficiency looks really good for him as well. And so if you're talking about the Chicago Bulls who could be looking, you know, around the area that they draft, guards are probably going to be some of the best names on the board there. If they can find somebody who can be the long-term two next to Josh Giddey, then why not do that? Now, Burries right now is, by some mocks, slated to go more towards the end of the lottery. Some even have him going out of the lottery. But you look at the defensive box plus minus is really good for him. The steal percentage is really good for him. The defensive rebounds are really good for him coming as a rebounding guard, which we know how good is that. He's an effective shooter as well. Somebody who's very efficient in the way that they take their shot. So he doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't do those type of things. So this is a guy that I really like potentially for the Bulls. And I know guard isn't the thing that a lot of people want to look at first. I completely understand that, not knocking you guys at all for that. But this is a guy to watch because I do think his draft stock could rise quite considerably in this NCAA tournament to where, whereas now he's kind of talked about as one of those guys that can go towards the end of the lottery. He may even work himself into maybe inside the top 10, right outside the top 10, depending on how that is. People have compared his game to Devin Booker. So, you know, it is what it is. He's an active defender, and so I like that two-way ability. We need more two-way players on the Chicago Bulls. This is a guy with a lot of two-way upside that I really like a lot. The next guy that we're going to talk about is one of the older prospects in this draft. He's 24 years old, right? And that's for some, has caused a huge red flag for him. He's a senior, 6'9", 240 pounds, and that is Yaxo Lindenberg. You know, 4.6 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, and 50% shooting, which is really good. Also, he's shooting the ball 35% from three this year.
Do you feel too full after meals, like your digestion could use a little support? Try BitterX from Quiksilver Scientific. BitterX is a blend of botanical bitter extracts designed to support healthy digestion and your body's natural digestive processes. Bitter herbs have been used for centuries to support digestive function, helping stimulate digestive activity. Just a few pumps before meals make Quiksilver Scientific's BitterX easy to add to your routine. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
His third year in college basketball, first year at Michigan after playing at UAB first. The 7 rebounds a game, a little bit concerning there, but he has averaged 11.4 and 10.6 in his first 2 years in college. So take that for what you will. He's averaging 1.3 blocks per game as well. Averages almost 2 blocks per game for his NCAA career, and he's averaging over a steal per game as well. I like Yaxo. I don't love the prospect of Yaxo, especially with how old he is. The question then becomes about how high is his ceiling still, if that ends up being the case. Like, how much is he just who he is as a player already? There's going to be some growth as an NCAA, as a going from college basketball to professional basketball a little bit anyway. But it's just, he has a nice finish for a big. I do think that in the way we've seen kind of Nick Richards and Josh Giddey have really good chemistry, Yaxo can work into that as well. He has a 7'4" wingspan, you know, despite the being 6'9". So there's that part of it. But I'm not overly impressed. I like Yaxo. I don't love Yaxo. And when it comes down to it, I think it still would be a little bit of a reach for the Chicago Bulls. But he has an opportunity here to kind of work himself up, you know, in the draft boards, and, you know, the Bulls will work him out and stuff like that. But he's still interesting enough to watch what he does in this NCAA tournament to see if it turns some heads in that kind of case. Next up, Omari Allen, the forward out of Alabama. Now, this is not a guard, which most people are going to like as well. He plays for Alabama, as I said, 6'8", 205 pounds. He's averaging 11.7 points per game, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, almost a block, and over a steal per game as well. He's shooting the ball 45% from the field, 36% from three. This is kind of the modern thing that we're seeing with forwards, a versatile forward that can do a little bit of everything, right? The thing with him, though, is I think it comes down to this for me, is that he's not really the master of any skill. Now, not to say that you don't need to be, but I do think it helps you a lot when you already have kind of a skill that you're looking at and you're just saying, hey, this is what this guy is going to excel at in the NBA. And the Bulls take a lot of those players that you look at and don't necessarily feel like, all right, this guy's going to thrive by doing X in the NBA, right? But it is a guy that I think you should keep an eye out on for sure. This is, you know, I don't know exactly where he's going to go in the draft. This could be a guy that you're looking at a different pick in the second round or something like that. But I think he's, you know, a lot of them have him going more towards the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. If he falls to the beginning of the second round, I think it's a great prospect for the Bulls. You know, if you can get him with that New Orleans Pelicans pick in that, I think that you can do really good for him. He's a freshman, so he's only 20 years old. He has a really good assist to turnover ratio, doesn't turn the ball over a lot, excels at defensive rebounds, which is really good. He doesn't turn the ball over. He forced turnovers on the other side of it. His defensive numbers look really good as a switchable defender at the next level. So if you're getting him in the second round, you're probably going to look to develop him as a bench piece, right? And I think as that, you can develop quite a hell of a bench piece out of Amari Allen if that is into what you're going to end up doing, right? So if you can get him in the second round, great. Would the Bulls kind of pair their two second round picks? They have their the New Orleans pick and Denver's pick to move into the end of the first. That may be difficult to do in this draft with how good the talent is. But I wouldn't be mad if they target him as the guy that they want in this draft with their second, and they're willing to move up, combine all the plethora of second round picks that they have to try to move up and go get him. But you have to take care of other business early on. I think if you do that, you'd be perfectly fine in it. I like the kid. He's also from Wisconsin, so close to the crib. I guess that would be. We just got to see what the Bulls are going to do with it. The next guy up that I would say look at is Milan Mamukelovic. I believe is how you pronounce it, out of Iowa State Cyclones. 17 points per game, doing that with only three rebounds, though, which at 6'8", you want to see more than three rebounds. 51% from the field. He also is a really good three-point shooter, though. He's shooting the ball 49% from three this year, 39% the year before that, and 36% the year before that. So the three-point shooting is legitimate. How much volume you want him shooting at the three, that becomes the question on it. But I like this kid's upside. And again, this would be another guy that I think you look at and you say, hey, depending on where we can get him, right? I'm not saying you take him with your 10th overall pick or anything like that. But depending on where you can get him in the draft, there's not a lot of guys that are going to have quite the upside that he has. And I mean that. It's not a lot of guys that are going to have that type of upside. So it's one of those, I hesitate to say this. It'll be one of those moves that AK does. And then if it works out, he looks like a genius. If it doesn't work out, I don't think anybody will really talk about it, hold it against him again. It's taking a shot on the second round pick. But if he does turn into something, which is a possibility here, it is a possibility that he could really turn into something. If that does happen, this is a guy that's not slated to go until the Bulls, the Denver pick. So around pick 50 is where he's slated to go. This is a guy that can play small forward, power forward. I can see somebody trying to develop him into a small ball center, but the rebounding would be an issue there. But you look at the NBA three-point is legitimate. When you go and look at the NBA level threes that he takes, that from that NBA distance is legitimate. Efficiency all over the offensive side of the ball. True shooting percentage, three-point rate, three-point percentage. He doesn't turn the ball over. His free throw percentage is really good, right? Overall, when he's on the court, his win shares look good. This is a player that is playing winning basketball. And when he's on the court, he has a positive impact. So for a second-round pick, I don't think you can do much better, especially when you're talking about towards the end of the second round. He's going to have to spend a year or so in the G League, I would think, right? If you end up turning him into a decent enough player for you, think of Quentin Post with the Golden State Warriors, the best version of Quentin Post, right? When he's playing his best, I think that's what Milan could do a little bit at the next level in the for the Chicago Bulls if they were to draft him. Like I said, you're not taking one of your premium picks for him, so there's no need to be mad at that, right? I like the kid. I like him a lot. And then the last guy that I want to talk about is Malik Brown, the senior out of Duke. In no way, I want to be clear because some people don't be having their listening ears on. In no way am I saying the Bulls should take him and bet on him being their center of the future. That's not what I'm saying here. What I am saying is that this could be a guy that you look back on and that we say, hey, how did he go where he went in the draft? Oh, the draft was deep? This guy, I think, does have a future of potentially being a backup center in the NBA. And I don't say that as a knock. A lot of people, this recent season, we're talking, wanted to see the Chicago Bulls go after Eve Missy. They wanted to see him throw a flyer at Eve Missy. They were willing to give up. Some people were saying, oh, the Bulls didn't give. Why didn't they give up that first round pick for Eve Missy? I'm telling you now, if you can get Malik Brown in this draft, depending on where you get him from, he can out for very, very good. And I'm not talking about Mikael Brown. I want to make sure people are a difference. I'm talking about Malik Brown, the center out of Duke. I like the kid as an upside pick. I really do. And I think when you watch him play basketball, the instincts are really good for him. Those type of things are really what stands out. And if you're talking about a player that you're taking at in the second round, you can do a lot better. I mean, you can't do a lot better than that as far as a prospect overall. Has some legit NBA size. He's a tough son of a bitch as well, which we all know we need toughness on this team. I like Malik Brown. So 6'9", 225 pounds. Again, he's going to have to find his way in the NBA. But I think as far, coming in and being a specialist, could actually work out for him. And as we talked about with AK needs as many hits as possible. Take guys with high floors in the second round and see what they can turn into. He's a former defensive player of the year as well. His game is very limited, but that's why he's not going in the first round, right? And you look at what he brings, smart basketball IQ on the defensive side of the ball, disruptive, and he can guard all five positions. Every position he can guard. He has some of the best hands in the NCAA as well. Look up Malik Brown. Look up his tape. I think a lot of you guys would be a little bit surprised by him. So those are my guys to watch in the NCAA tournament. Kind of unexpected names. We talked about the more expected names yesterday. Let me know what you guys feel on that down below. With this said, I do want to get into this quote from Stacey King to end the show, right? He was talking about Leonard Miller, and he said this. I think the one thing you would want to see from this team is guys that are going to keep. You want to see some of the new guys that are possibly going to keep, like Leonard Miller, who has emerged as a guy to be on your roster. So he's been a surprise, I think, for a lot of people. Not me, because I've been calling for him from day one to play. Stacey be embellishing a little bit there. But, you know, we've seen it. Leonard Miller plays winning basketball, and he plays two-way basketball. And so when you look at the what he's done with the opportunity, he's done probably the most with any opportunity than any of the new Bulls have done with, right? You knew who Colin Sexton was. We knew who Nick Richards was, right? Like, these guys have come in and been themselves, and I mean that positively, right? But when you look at Leonard Miller, he was the unknown. And if Leonard Miller ends up turning into even a bench role piece for the Chicago Bulls, it makes the Io Desumo trade a little bit easier to take, right? Like, it sucks. I know, you know, Io's the one that most Bulls fans continue to bring up. They miss Io. It's clear. I miss Io Desumo too. But I do think you've seen with Io is just, he's just a smart basketball player. And I mean, and Leonard Miller has a chance to be that as well. He has a chance to be just one of those players you look at, like, how good he will or won't be, that's up to him to decide. I'm not willing to pull the ceiling on it yet because this guy was a bit of unknown commodity. But it just goes to show you that, you know, sometimes you can find unexpected value in trades. Can Leonard Miller be that for the Bulls? Yeah. Does it change the trade deadline and all of a sudden make it look like some huge win for AK and Eversley? No. But it will mean something to this team to get that level of talent and somebody who can come in and help the Chicago Bulls play better, right? And we'll see what happens with that one. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Y'all, I want to hear from you guys on this one. Let me know how you feel about Io Desumo's comments down below. What do you think that means for Billy Donovan? And does it just confirm kind of what we've all been seeing and talking about all during the season? But let me see. And then I also want to ask you guys, like, what should the Bulls' offensive philosophy be? Ideally, what do you want to see from the Bulls' offense going forward into next season? Make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel as well. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform. Send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.